Hey everybody, Stephen here from The Truth About Dyslexia. In today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about dyslexic burnout. As I'm coming to the end of this crazy period of house moving and tradespeople and all this stuff all happening at once, it's been really good to reflect on what that looks like in my life, how to continue to improve it, and just a couple of tips I've learned recently that have really started to help me. So let's dive in. Okay, let's dive into this episode. So let's start with the definition and of kind of dyslexic burnout, as I would call it, or neurodiverse burnout. I guess what we're really talking about is the state of emotional, mental, and often physical exhaustion caused by prolonged stress or frustration. Okay, that's what burnout really is. It's a prolonged state. You know, many of us deal with these little things in our lives day to day, but then we usually get a chance to have a cup of tea or whatever your zone out thing is, and you get to relax from it and kind of come back from it. But it's these prolonged states, both, you know, mentally, physically, emotionally. It could be any of these, I guess, core systems in our lives, our bodies, you know, around us, that they just keep being put under stress. And if you're, you know, I guess for me personally, biggest challenge is always the mental side and the emotional. Physical, you know, often physical exhaustion, I think, helps me because it tires me out. But the mental and emotional stress, especially when it goes on for a period of time, you know, it's really frustrating. It's kind of like my brain has, someone's put the accelerator on in my brain and I can't take the foot off the pedal. It just keeps going and going and going. And I have to be very, very conscious about trying to get out of that burnout. Now, with this period of time, this probably, I'd like to say the last 4 weeks especially, I've just had so much happening. Like I run these major events where we have over 300 people coming to them, a heap of stuff on. I have my web design business. I've got moving house. We've got all these tradespeople coming through, all this stuff. You know, and it's madness. And I kind of can't see the wood for the trees half the time, you know, when I'm in it. It's really tiring. And oddly, I love it because it's not boring. But there's another part of me where I'm always on edge. I've always got this elevated cortisol, or I've got to do this, I've got to do that kind of vibe. And I kind of go through patterns of this where so much is happening. And then I'll go through a period where I'll feel really bored because I'm not having any of this stress. And it's really frustrating, right? Like we kind of go back and forth from like burnout to over chill out. You know, chill out can be as bad for me as burnout. Like if I'm too chilled, I can become lethargic. I can just not care too much. And then I start to build myself back up to burnout again. Isn't that crazy? Isn't it weird how our brains work? I'm sure there's a few of you out there who are nodding and agreeing. But this is kind of how the neurodiverse mind works. It needs the stimulation to keep going. And if I'm honest, I've read some interesting studies, less about dyslexia, more about ADHD, that show you how our lifespan is lower than the average person. And to me, that's because of this need for overstimulation. It kind of, like I think of it as overclocking a computer. You know, if your computer runs at one speed, but you cool it down heavily and you do some funky, geeky stuff, you can make the computer run faster and operate at a higher level. But it can only do it for so long before it breaks. And that's kind of what I see as the ADHD dyslexic kind of mindset. And I use these two very closely because I see so many common patterns. Some people qualify as dyslexic but don't qualify as ADHD in the overall testing metrics, and vice versa. Some qualify as ADHD but don't qualify as dyslexic because they don't quite have the same challenges that are tested. And you know, this kind of became very clear to me as I go off on a slight tangent when I was listening to a speaker on another podcast talk about health markers and how many current health markers that doctors test are really poorly sought out or really poorly created. So imagine diabetes. Like, what classes you as a diabetic versus pre-diabetic versus not diabetic is a very broad and poor range. I was just listening to this doctor and he just said, you know, the amount of people that actually should be classed as having pretty much diabetes is a lot higher than we class it, because it's only classed when it gets to a certain level that's so extreme that you're like, there's real issues. Does that make sense? And so because they're not classed as diabetic, people don't take as many actions to solve it, and thus they actually reach the range they go to. Does that make sense? And so I feel similar with dyslexia and ADHD. The amount of 40 to 50 to 60-year-olds I come across that I look at and go, well, you fit majority of the profile I look at, but they've never been tested, or if they were tested, they weren't quite picked up. It's mind-blowing, right? And so after that completely random tangent, this if we come back to burnout, some of the symptoms usually include like feeling, you know, feelings of inadequacy, like I just can't do this. You know, you're running at 150% and you feel inadequate because you can't keep running at 150%. You can lack motivation. You know, when you're so burnt out from doing so much, you just don't know what to do next or why to do it, or you just feel like zoned out. You know, frustration, just, you know, getting frustrated at everything. You know, I know when this is happening is when I start to snap at my wife, not because of her, but because of what's going on around me and in my state. It's an internal issue, not an external one. And I have to apologize, which I'm very, you know, I do. It doesn't happen often, but occasionally. You know, fatigue, tiredness. You just want to curl up in bed and sleep is always a big one. You know, and of course, anxiety, which is that feeling I find in my gut of, you know, not being sure where the future is. You know, anxiety is the future, depression is usually the past. And so this can, you know, this can be triggered by a bunch of things. Usually I see it more than anything as overload. And usually also, like with dyslexics, especially those with ADHD, us neurodiverse people, I find us being very emotionally connected. And when we care about things, you know, I know when I care about something and I want it to work, I put so much pressure on myself to do that because I care about it. I'm emotionally invested in it. Like if I didn't care about these things, it wouldn't matter. I can't burn out if I don't care about something. You know, this, why would I burn out? I wouldn't care. I can, you know. So it's like, I remember in the early days, I used to really try and care about things less. You know, I'd lower my expectations. So if I don't have expectations, then I can't be stressed. Or if I don't care about something, I can't, you know. And so I found myself over the years trying to balance what I care about and what I don't care about so that it doesn't impact my stress levels. And sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I don't think it's the best coping strategy. But coping strategies that I use and that I really love, you know, and I come back to this a heap, is meditation's a big one. I when I'm doing it 5+ times a week, I'm in my best mental headspace. You know, meditation you've got to think of as exercise for your brain. And listening to I listened to a really good speaker. The problem with speakers these days, everyone's name seems really hard to pronounce. I wish there was a few more John Smiths or Bob Joneses or stuff that I could remember. But this guy, amazing speaker, and he put it like this. He goes, he often sees clients, he's a therapist, often sees clients with ADHD and dyslexia and other neurodiverse challenges. And he said, many of them will say to him, I can't meditate. And he asks them, how did you come to that conclusion? And 9 times out of 10, they heard about meditation from a friend or a podcast or an app, and they tried it once or twice and it didn't work. And so they gave up on it and blamed meditation as a whole. And he said, it's so common that this is happening with people trying to deal with this burnout or anxiety, whatever the case being. And he said a couple of things. He said, one, most of us are learning meditation not from expert teachers, but from, you know, apps and stuff that doesn't really know us or understand us. It's kind of like if I ask you a question, what is there an exercise that you really, really hate? Maybe it's cycling. Maybe some people hate the gym. Others run. Running can be painful. What do you really dislike? Like, I hate burpees. I don't know if you've heard of those. Down on the ground, jump up, I don't know, just don't like them. There's a bunch of things that people like and dislike. Jogging's the other one for me. I like to either walk at a reasonable pace or sprint. I take that bit of the running, jogging bit in the middle. For some reason, I don't like it. It just doesn't work with me. Now, the only exercise I'd ever tried was jogging, and I I turned around and said, oh, I hate jogging. I hate exercise. I just hate exercise. Exercise is terrible. What a horrible thing. Because I jogged twice, didn't like it, and I blamed all exercises for it. Then I'd be in the same point as many people are with meditation. Because meditation, there are 10, 12, 15, 20, there's probably more than that types of meditation out there. Different styles, ways to do it, ways to connect. And so, you know, many people give up on something like meditation because they've had a taste of it, didn't quite work, and so they've left it. Whereas if you find the right meditation for you, it can be valuable. And this guy talks about what he did with a lot of ADHD kids, is he said, what you have to do when you're starting out is you have to tire the mind out so you can reach a meditative state. And he explained it like this. If you send a kid to the playground for an hour, who's got ADHD, and you get them to run around like a crazy thing, use all the energy they've got in their bones up, boom, love it. Let them run around for a whole hour. And then you get them to come in and ask them to sit down. They are 9 times out of 10 more likely to sit down for a prolonged period of time because their body is tired than if you were to ask them to sit down before they went and run around for an hour. Does that make sense? So you're basically using the body's own way of being to get the most out of it. And so this is the same with the mind. If you want to meditate and you need to start training your brain, because if your brain's not used to this, it's not going to, I don't want to say it's just not going to enjoy it because it's new, it's fresh, it's scary. And so what he talked about is he would take people to a cafe or a coffee shop and he would ask the person to close their eyes and try and listen to the different sounds they could make out. Didn't have to say them, they could if they wanted to, but just to identify, like coffee machine, people walking, footsteps, a bird's got into the cafe and is chirping, and trying to use their brains to actually focus on individual sounds, which is part of training the brain to be able to focus on particular points. So stuff like that was pretty amazing. I'll try and add his link to the podcast I listen to in here, and some of his videos. They're really, really good. So I'll pop that in the show notes for this podcast. But that's kind of one of the coping strategies. Meditation by far is my top one for dealing with burnout, 100%. The second has probably recently been a completely wasted day. I had one yesterday. I loved it. I literally got up. We had to do next to nothing. I went and helped my mother-in-law move a bit of furniture for about 15 minutes. She's moving house close to us, so it was really easy. Got a bit of a walk in the sun, and then I literally went home and just chilled out. I let my brain rest. I reminded myself, there's nothing you have to do today at all, and just watched bad television and just completely zoned out, and that was fantastic. I've come into today so rested versus usual, and so it's fantastic. I'm really enjoying it. Other things that are good coping strategies if you're dealing with burnout is structured routines. So making sure you've got those routines in place. I'm noticing these more and more as I've moved house, and that's been fantastic. Setting realistic goals. Another thing I heard recently was around, you know, people set these giant goals that they can't live up to and just always feel like a failure. You're much better to actually only set shorter term goals. Like I only ever set a year into the future. I sometimes set some bigger intentions, but 9 times out of 10, it's a year into the future or even less. And I make them realistic things that I can achieve over a period of time. Because the longer you set goals out into the future, the easier it is to say, I'll do that tomorrow. The closer they are, the easier you get things done. So setting realistic goals is always good. And also, you know, probably the last thing is allowing yourself to have rest and breaks in the day. Like I've literally on my screensaver added 5 or 6 techniques that I can use in the moment to remind myself that they exist, from go sit down and meditate for 20 minutes, go for a walk in the sun, use different techniques. Like there's one I talk about where I zoom out over my head, realize how small I am in the world and how little my problems are. I also use another technique called, does this actually matter? And it's thinking about in 12 months time, will I remember this moment? And 999 times out of 100, that's a lot, by the way, I won't remember that moment. I think there's probably 5 or 6 things a year that I'll actually remember when I come, when I actually get into next year. So tools like that really help in the moment, and making sure they're easily accessible and reminded to you is huge. So just wanted to share today, guys, a bit about dyslexic burnout, neurodiverse burnout, and a few tips to help you on your path. Have an epic rest of your day.